Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and grandmothers and a few great-grandmothers. It's a beautiful day and we're privileged to be able to be here. I thought Dave had left CB and I where we didn't have to read Ezekiel anymore or Ecclesiastes anymore, but Jason fixed that, I guess. A week ago, we spoke about the culture that we live in, the Christian culture. There's cultures all around us from many nations, but we are a different people. We live in the kingdom culture of our Lord Jesus. So today we want to think about that culture that we are now and see how we overcome the world. And we're going to look at the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, written to a people that's from an old ancient city of Colossae, the people that have a pagan background with all the pagan idolatry, the fornication, the adultery, the homosexuality, and all the wickedness of idolatry. And the Christians are called out of that to the culture of the kingdom of Christ. Not only is they have the pagan pull to pull them back into their former life, they have a good number of Jews. Antiochus, about 200 years before Christ was born, moved about 2,000 Jews from Mesopotamia and Babylon to that area. So the Jews had heavy influence. Christians were called out of the Jewish background. They were in danger of being pulled back in to legalism by the Judaizing teachers. More than that, there is what they call the Colossae heresy. And it is the heresy that comes from within the church. So all these things we have surrounding us, even today, outside cultures, people calling us to legalism. We have problems within the church like they did. The problem they had then was what was called dualism. They separated the flesh and the spirit. They said God is the creator of spirit, all good things. A lesser God, even an evil God, created the earth and the men. Because flesh is evil to those people. Therefore, it's called dualism because they split the two, which come out in two different doctrines, that of liberalism, which means that what the body, the flesh does not interfere with the spirit. That doctrine is still with us today. We have people that teach once saved, always saved. That's the same doctrine. The flesh isn't going to interfere with the spirit. But that wasn't the problem Paul addresses in Colossae. Their problem was asceticism. Within the church, people were teaching them that they have to deprive their fleshly bodies of any good things. The body is evil. They had two main words that they spoke of. And one is the fullness. They said if you're going to have the fullness, Christ is good, but you can't get to the fullness by Christ. You've got to have our teaching. So these people claim to have a special knowledge. That's the other word. That's where we get the word Gnostic. Gnosticism comes from their word gnosis, which means knowledge. But they didn't just use gnosis. They used the word knowledge with a preposition, which means on. So they're talking about we have knowledge stacked on top of knowledge. And if you come to us, you can get the fullness. That started in the first century and flourished in the second century. Paul, writing this letter, God through Paul's pen is telling these people, listen, Christ is all sufficient. You have everything when you have Christ. You need nothing else. He'll tell you in chapter 2, verse 9, that Jesus has all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the passage that Isaac read this morning, he'll tell you that Christ is God. He is in the image of God. He says that he is the creator. He is the sustainer. Everything is from Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. He says that he has all the preeminence, that he is the redeemer. The book of Colossians will stress over and over the fact that in Christ we have everything. You don't need men's teaching. He'll start right out in verse 1 by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He starts right out by putting the authority where it is. He said he is an apostle, one inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's called and sent by Jesus, and that's according to the will of God. Then in 3 through 8, Paul prays there, giving thanks unto the Father. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have towards all the saints, because of the hope which is set up for you in the heavens, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you even as it is in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing as it doth in you also, since you knew the grace of God in truth, which you heard from Epaphras, who is our beloved fellow servant and faithful minister of Christ Jesus on our behalf, who also declared unto you, to us, your love in the Spirit. He starts that prayer out by saying he prays always. What's he pray? He says we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dave this morning told us about the one that made it all possible, the one that was lacerated by the scourging of the Romans before he was crucified, his hands pierced, his feet pierced, the blood flew from our Lord Jesus. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's Son by nature, and because of Jesus and the offering that he gave, which Dave spoke about, we can be adopted as sons of our Lord, sons of our Father, brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says what he gives thanks for is their faith in Christ. Having heard of their faith in Christ, the in Christ there is not the word that's used where we believe on Christ. It is the faith that is because we are in Christ. The preposition there states that which is inside. So it's not talking about our faith believing in Christ. It's talking about what we believe about everything because we're in Christ. Everything we look at is different because we're in Christ. As we spoke last week, we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. We live in a different culture. So he prayed, thanking God for their faith in Christ, which the love which they have towards all the saints. That's the unconditional love. That's the highest love. That's the love that God had for us. He says he hears of the love which they had for all the saints. That is a specific people of which their love is aimed. Of course they loved everybody. We're to love everybody. They loved the pagans around them. But he's talking about a love that was aimed for the saints. It is this love that Paul tells you in Romans 12, in verse 9 and 10. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affected, honoring one another. There is a special love that's within the brotherhood. Paul says he thanks God that these people have that love because it's by that love, Jesus says, that all men will know that we're his disciples. He says in John 13, Verse 34, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Loving one another. Jesus says, as I have, past tense, loved you. What had he just done? The service, the washing of the feet of the apostles. He's saying, this love makes us serve one another, and by that all men know that we are his apostles. And all this, he says in verse 5, all this is because of their hope which is laid up in heaven. The hope is where they have the strength for their faith and their love. The hope which we have. He tells you in verse 27, speaking of the mystery that's been revealed, he says, of whom God was pleased to make known unto us the glory of his glory, the riches of his glory in the mystery of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is in heaven. We're not talking about something we wish for. This hope that the Bible speaks of is something that we are confident of, something that we know is ours, something that we are expecting to have. It's something that we are anxious to get. Peter tells us that that hope is laid up for us. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his grace begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is not something that we wish for. Our hope is something because of God's work in Christ at the cross, is something that we know is ours. And that gives you the strength. It's not law keeping of Judaism. It's not beating your body up of asceticism. It's the fact of what we know, what God gave us. He goes on to say, whereby you heard in the word of the truth of the gospel. It's not what men's teaches. It's what the gospel says, the word of the truth. Jesus, praying for the apostles in John 17, prays in verse 17 of that chapter, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world around us. There was a lot of stuff going on in Colossae back in the first century. Satan trying to dig people or draw people away from the truth. There is one truth. There is one gospel. There's not other truths. There's not the pagan truth. There's not the Jewish truth. There's not the Gnostic truth. There's not the scientific truth. There's one truth. He says, you heard the word of the truth of the gospel. Jesus says, if you abide in my words, then are you truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Any man wants to be free, he has to know the truth. It's not feelings that makes you free, it is truth. The Christian religion is not subjective, it is objective. It's not what we feel, not our emotions. It's what we know because God told us and he promised us when we do his will, it is ours. We have eternal life. It's the truth that we obey. In verse 6 then, he'll speak of their fruit. He says, which is coming to you, talking about the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing as it doth in you also, since the day you heard, knew the grace of God in truth. Twice, in verse 5 and verse 6, he emphasizes the necessity of truth. all around us. Things are fighting against the truth, and they bore fruit. This is what we need to do today, is bear fruit. That's what we're saved for, is to bear fruit. The first century was a great time of evangelism. Even under all the persecutions that killed Jesus, the persecution of the Jews, which tried to kill all the apostles and destroy the gospel, the church in the first century. Then following them, the Romans outlawed the Christians and tried to kill them. In the midst of all this, they were growing and increasing. The church has always grown and increased under persecution. When you know the truth, then all these other things taking place does not deter it. It takes conviction. It takes commitment to the truth, to what God told us, to what we know. Acts 8, verse 4, it was because of all the persecution that they went out from Jerusalem preaching the gospel in every place. They covered Judah. They covered then to Samaria and then into the uttermost part of the world. They are the people who turned the world upside down. We need to be committed like they of the first century. We need to turn this world upside down. In the midst of all the persecution, be committed. It doesn't make any difference because our hope is in heaven, not on this earth. Dave just admitted that yesterday he was like one of these kids, and now he's an old man. And he labeled CB and I older than that. But when somewhere in your life, when you're this age, you're going to live forever. You're bulletproof, you know. But somewhere along there, you realize that's not true. We're all going to die. And only one thing is important. Satan, through paganism in that time, through Judaism and Gnosticism in that time, through all the what the so-called science, which is pseudoscience, most of it nowadays, is not going to help man. In Thailand, they think that education is God. If we just get educated, everything will be okay. So they all got a degree in college and nothing's better. It doesn't change anything because that's not the point. The point is bearing fruit in the kingdom, teaching men the truth. They learned that from Epaphras. Epaphras from Colossae. He took the gospel to Colossae when Paul was in Ephesians in Acts 19, in verse 10. All Asia heard the word. They were on fire with evangelism. We exist today for that purpose, for evangelism. I thank God daily for this congregation who is evangelistic minded. If you read in the bulletin, Josie going to Italy, Amanda going to Scotland, Chris going to León in Mexico, Ben's in Mexico. Mike just came back from South Africa getting ready to return to Sunset and prepare for more work. Scott's going to the South Pacific Islands. Evangelism, brethren, that's why we live. We are here to turn the world upside down. We do that because of a hope which is laid up for us in heaven. He goes on in verse 9. Down through 14. And he prays for them. And his prayer for them is for the church. He gave thanks to God for the church in 3 to 8. Now he's going to pray for the church in 9 through 14. He'll say, for this cause, the cause that he heard of their love in the Spirit in verse 8. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, unto all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good works, increasing in your knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He prays for six things there. He says, I pray. You notice again, he prayed in verse 3. He says again, he prays in verse 9. Prayer. If we're going to get evangelism done, we're going to have to spend a lot of time in prayer. Paul prayed. Prayer indicates our dependence on God, and we are totally dependent upon God. Jesus says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Paul prays fervently for these things. He says that we cease not to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will unto all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The knowledge of his will. That's the basis and the reason for everything. And notice, in that sentence, he prays that you may be filled, that's your Gnostic word, with the knowledge, that's the Gnostic word, of his will. He's using their language, and he says, you want to be full. He says, you get full with the knowledge of God. And all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's not men's wisdom. It's not men's understanding. It doesn't have anything to do with men. It's what belongs to God, and that's the only thing that matters. Unto all, he says, to walk worthily of the Lord and all pleasing. The word walk is speaking of our conduct, how we do everything we do. We make multitudes of decisions every day. How do we make those decisions? On what basis do we make those decisions? Walk worthily of the Lord. Last week we spoke of Philippians 1:27. Where he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We talked about 1 Peter 2:12, where he says, having your behavior seemly amongst the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Verse 16 says, so far is the will of God, that by well-doing, you put to silence the ignorance of evil men, of foolish men, he says. Everything that's not according to the will of God is foolishness. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, he said, if any man preaches not this doctrine, nor consenteth unto the sound words according to the words of Jesus, any man that teaches a different doctrine. He said that he is puffed up, knowing nothing. There is nothing that comes out of anywhere that's not according to the doctrine of Christ that does any good. Eternal good, that is. Whether you're talking about from presidents, prime ministers, kings, down to the lowest people, the professors in the universities, if what they say is not according to the gospel, Paul says they're puffed up and they don't know anything. One thing is important. He prays that they will be according to the will of God. He goes on to say, bearing fruit in every good works. We talked about that back in verse 6. That's what we live for. Ross brought me a book back when he was down at Sunset, a book by Klein Payden. The name of the book is Broken by Fruitfulness. And he got the name of the book, he went out in an orchard and he saw a fruit tree. and the limbs were just broken down by all the fruit that was on it. And Cain says that's what he wants his life to be. Broken down by fruitfulness. That's what I pray for all of our young people going to the mission field. Be broke down with fruit. I pray for all of us in this congregation, be broke down by fruit for Christ. That's why we're here. Ephesians 2, verse 8, tells us we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. But verse 10 says, we are His workmanship. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. We were saved, we're created anew in Christ by God so that we can spread the gospel so souls can be saved. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the husbandman. Any branch that bears not fruit, He cuts off and casts away. If you bear fruit, He prepares that to bear more fruit. That's why we live. To bear fruit. These people, Paul prayed that they would bear much fruit, increasing again, he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge. Over and over again, knowledge. Knowledge of God is what's necessary. We can't talk about that. We don't have time. We got to get on. So what's left, we'll just read, basically. He says, giving thanks unto the Father for four things. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness. That's out of Satan's hand and all the teachings of anything that's not according to the correct doctrine, sound doctrine. He delivered us out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of sin. There's no other place to find redemption or forgiveness of sins. If any of you today are still under the power of darkness, God, through Jesus, will move you from the power of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. No other place has any promise of anything besides this life in which we are now living. If you need to come to Christ, if you need to get out of all the world's teachings, whether it's paganism, false doctrines, false religions, you need to come to Christ in the truth of the gospel, and our Lord will wash you in the blood of Christ, and you'll live with Him eternally. That's our confident hope. We live with Him. If you need to come this morning and get your life right with Christ, come while we stand and sing.